Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we've got a bunch of different topics. We talk about this controversial plan in San Francisco to potentially give $5 million to every eligible black person reparations. We talk to Harmeet Dhillon, the Californian who is running for RNC chair. And we talk to L.A. Mayor Karen Bass back in Washington for the first time as L.A. mayor after years as a member of Congress. But we start with the biggest story of the week in California, the storms. President Biden and Vice President Harris both visiting California this week, pledging help in the state's recovery from 9 atmospheric rivers that claimed at least 21 lives. So we start our coverage this week with the Deputy Director of the California Emergency Operations Services, Brian Ferguson, for a look at how you can get help. Brian, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thank you for having me.
You were in the motorcade. You spoke to the president this week. What was that visit like, and what did he say to you?
You know, it really reaffirmed the partnership that California has with our federal government, both the president, Senator Padilla, Congressman Panetta, you know, really bringing the full weight of the federal government behind the people of California as we've experienced these storms. You know, it's not going to be a short recovery, but the resources that were announced this week during the visit will bring tens of millions of dollars and really support those communities to get back on their feet to rebuild and recover.
So for the average Californian watching this, what does that disaster declaration actually do for them? How can they access the money if they've had damage at their house?
You know, the approval of these federal declarations turns on a number of different programs, whether it be hotel vouchers for those who are displaced, small business assistance and loans for businesses that had damage. It provides public assistance, so roads and bridges and courthouses and infrastructure, because just how widespread these storms are, 41 of our 58 counties have declared some form of emergency, and it really will be a long-term recovery effort, likely billions of dollars before all is said and done, and it really helps financially, but also helps those individual homeowners get back on their feet, particularly the most vulnerable in our communities, older Californians, those with disabilities, those that are displaced, and it's going to bring vital support to help them and their families.
So do people go to the FEMA website? Do they go to your website? How do they get that cash?
You can sign up on FEMA.org, and there is eligibility restrictions based on the county that you live in, but there's a FEMA website, the app, as well as a toll-free number. We're also standing up assistance centers in other counties across the state that have been hardest hit, and so far we've had hundreds of people sign up for assistance, and you know we are going to also match individuals if there aren't perhaps the right federal program. We're going to work with philanthropic partners, local community-based organizations with the goal that, you know, no matter where you are in our state, we're going to try to help you to the best of our ability. And, you know, we really do come together during these challenging times and think that's going to be the case here as well.
The vice president visiting LA County this week and looking at ways to better store rainwater. We have all this water come down, and a lot of it went out to storm drains. So where are we at right now when it comes to the drought? And after all this rain, are we still going to have water restrictions come the summer?
You know, we really, throughout our state, are experiencing weather whiplash, where we have years of drought followed by rain that all comes at the same time. And, you know, under Governor Newsom, the state's really made historic investments in things like groundwater recharge so that we can collect that water and help our aquifers. He's also expedited the construction of, you know, storage projects and worked on the Delta conveyance. And so, you know, these long-term infrastructure projects take time, but there's really been historic investments just in the past couple of years under Governor Newsom.
Brian Ferguson, thank you so much for your important work. We know you got to be exhausted at this point, and we appreciate you taking some time to join us from the state's Emergency Operations Center.
Thank you.
Up next, a controversial reparations proposal for San Francisco would give eligible black residents $5 million each. San Francisco's African American Reparation Advisory Committee submitted a draft of suggestions to city leaders that's gotten a lot of attention. They want to give a one-time lump sum payment
of $5 million to all eligible residents. So who's eligible? Among ways to qualify, you need to identify as Black or African American on government documents for at least 10 years, lived in San Francisco for at least 13 years, been personally impacted or a descendant of someone impacted by the war on drugs, and or been a descendant of someone enslaved before 1865. Eric McDonald is the chair of the African American Reparations Advisory Committee. He joins us now. Welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, a lot of people are going to say $5 million is a lot of money. Why that figure, and how would this work?
Sure. So starting at the end of that question, how it will work will be determined over time by how the city determines, if they actually adopt this and approve this, how it will be implemented. But how we determined it, that the work of the committee has focused most primarily on assessing the harms experienced by Black San Franciscans, over history. And based upon that, what would it take in terms of an investment of initial capital that would allow them to climb out of, maintain and sustain a level of viable income, and then build a path forward towards building and accumulating wealth? That's arguably what was most disrupted by the history of chattel slavery in the United States is just that, a path to viable wealth creations for Black families.
Of course, you know, California was a free state, although there was some slaves early on in the history of the state. But none of the residents of San Francisco now own slaves. Why is it fair for people who really had nothing to do with that system now to potentially have their city bankrupted by this in paying this out?
I won't make a case and argument for fairness because that's objective and subjective, and there are many points of view. Why we believe it is right and appropriate to do so is that while you are absolutely correct, as a historical point, there was not active slavery. That said, San Francisco did harbor slaves. San Francisco did enable the continuation of the treatments of, or mistreatments of Black folks in San Francisco. So there is a record of and a certain level of complicit behavior by the city that justifies some repair against that harm. That said, to the question of who should pay for this, arguably the descendants of chattel slavery, Jim Crow laws practiced on this coast as well, the ways in which discriminatory practices in housing and in economic opportunity all practiced to discriminate against Black folks in San Francisco. So while not guilt, quote unquote, guilty of the specific act of chattel slavery, San Francisco has its own history in this context in terms of treatment of Black folks in communities of San Francisco who have benefited, including the folks today who, again, while not guilty of that act, are beneficiaries of those acts. We believe it right that there is a role to be played in the actual, you know, payment. Last thing I'll say very quickly is I appreciate and understand why the $5 million stuck out so much and folks are reacting to that. I would argue that the other recommendations that invest in the economic future of Black San Franciscans is even more significant and equally as important.
I'm sure you have seen some of the pushback to this. There was a video of Leo Terrell on Fox News Channel that sort of went viral. I want to play that for you and give you a chance to respond on the other side.
We're talking about a racist program to benefit individuals who happen to be Black. $5 million. California was a free state. Who's going to pay for it? Why should they get $5 million? Because of skin color? It's insulting.
So it's his racist assertion there that this is itself racist. What do you say to that?
Well, honestly, I'm not interested in debating whether it's racist or not, because again, that's a subjective point of view. I don't share it clearly. What I will say is the fact that there is an outcry against this by anyone, including a Black man, is understandable. And yet it is, I believe, beyond dispute that this country, states across this country, and cities, including San Francisco, have been both complicit and beneficiaries of the history of the treatment of Black folks. And so, again, I would make the argument, and I do make the argument, that it is justifiable to expect there to be investment in the future.
We know that the state, it's looking into this. California, the first state to really look at the idea of reparations, they're going to have recommendations later this year. You're suggesting this to the city. They, though, are the ones that are going to have to determine whether they go with any of your suggestions. Where does this go forward from here?
So the Board of Supervisors have the draft now that we will submit. We'll do some edits and modifications, some additions, et cetera, to the San Francisco proposed plan, and we'll submit a final draft in June. What follows June will be a series of both discussions and decisions where the board will grapple with what level of and at what depth they will accept, approve, adopt, and then work to implement parts or all of these recommendations. And so that discussion is to come. As it relates to California, you know, it's important to hold, I would suggest, Alex, that San Francisco as a local municipality has its level of, again, complicity in this context. California as a state has its own independent, and then the federal government has its own independent levels of liability or complicit behavior. And therefore, it is appropriate that each focus on what are we complicit around, what are we guilty of, what harms have we uniquely caused in California's case as a state government, and then make appropriate amends should they choose to do so. Obviously, my aspiration and hope is that all will be adopted, but I also am a realist in understanding this is political as much as it is practical, and we'll have to wade through that as it unfolds.
Meaning the idea of the $5 million thing may not get adopted, but something like an educational program might get adopted. There are different ways of looking at this issue that may be more politically practical going forward, and that's what the negotiations for the months ahead look like. Thank you so much for sharing your views. We really appreciate it. Up next,
well, thank you so much for having me, Alex. I appreciate you.
Up next, a different view from a conservative leader in San Francisco, Harmeet Dhillon, hoping to become the next chair of the Republican National Committee. She'll join us next.
I'm Ronna McDaniel, chairwoman of the Republican National Committee.
Ronna McDaniel, the chair of the RNC, joined us here on The Issue Is last fall. Now, another familiar face from our show is challenging her for that job. Harmeet Dhillon is one of California's RNC members and a lawyer who has often sued Governor Newsom. The election for RNC chair will be here in California next week. Harmeet Dhillon, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Thanks for having me.
So why you and why not Ronna McDaniel?
Well, Ronna's had her run for the last 6 years, and in the last three election cycles during those 6 years, we haven't won elections the way that we promised the voters we would. And specifically, during that time, we've lost the White House, the Senate, the House, and several governor's races. And while that's no one person's fault, when you're a leader, you do take responsibility. And normally, when you lose the White House, there's a turnover in leadership. And so at this point, we really do need new leadership in order to be able to win in 2024. And what I'm coming with is a specific plan to immediately change the way that we deliver ballots to ballot boxes as Republicans, to better communicate the reasons why people should support Republicans instead of Democrats in our elections, to regain the confidence of our donors and our fiscal responsibility and supervision of how we spend their money, and to give confidence to voters and to candidates that we are the lean, mean, winning machine that we promised the voters we would be.
Let's talk about Donald Trump, because last time around, he endorsed Ronna McDaniel. And recently he was asked, who do you like in this race? He says, I like them both, which was quite something that he's not backing somebody he's backed in the past. What do you see as his role in the party going forward?
Well, let me start with saying that I have voted for President Trump twice, and I've even done a small amount of legal work for him, and I think he's happy with that. And he did support and endorse Ronna three times. In fact, he put her in as chair of the RNC. And so while he's saying very nice things out there, actually some people on his team, his campaign team, are actively whipping votes for Ronna and telling people that he supports her. So I don't know what to make of that, but it's of no moment to me. I've reached out to and spoken to several of the likely presidential candidates in 2024 and introduced myself and told them that I guarantee that the RNC under my leadership would have a level playing field for all those candidates because our party rules require that.
All right. Well, while I've got you, you know, you've also joined us on our panel to weigh in on hot topics. And I want to ask you about our last guest, which has this reparation plan in San Francisco, $5 million for eligible Black people. I'm curious for you, your reaction as a San Franciscan. What do you make of that?
So from a moral perspective, I think it is there's no price you can put on an individual losing their liberty and being enslaved. I think that's horrible. And I think it's actually happened to many cultures throughout history. But in terms of San Francisco, not exactly, I think, the epicenter of discrimination in our country today or historically, frankly, although, you know, certainly in the 1800s, our state discriminated a lot against Asian Americans and, you know, people with my ethnic heritage. I don't see where the $5 million number comes from. I don't see where the money will come from. I don't think it is just or fair, given all the oppressed groups in the world and in our city specifically. And I think it's a pie-in-the-sky gimmick, and I hope not likely to go anywhere. I think we should focus on fixing quality of life here in our city, which is very bad. I've lived here for over 20 years, and, you know, up until COVID times, I used to walk to work every day, and now I can't do that. To me, and a lot of misery I see on the street, a lot of homeless people. So I think there are a lot of priorities for our city before righting wrongs of the distant past.
All right. And there are so many important issues to talk about, but we want to have a little bit of fun on the show as well. We play a game called Personal Issues. This is 30 seconds of some of your favorites to get to know you because now you're running for office here. So let's start with this. What is your favorite TV show?
Right now, I'd say it's Yellowstone. I really enjoy watching that show.
Love Yellowstone. Favorite movie of all time?
Gosh, I love Gone with the Wind, but I would have to say that kind of ties with many James Bond movies.
Favorite musical artist or band?
Well, that varies over time as well, but I would have to say I listen to a lot of Steely Dan.
Very nice. And what's your favorite way to relax?
I'm a knitter. I knit the sweater that I'm wearing right now.
You have incredible sweaters. When she's on TV all the time, it's always like a different sweater that she knit. It's very impressive. You can check it out on Harmeet's social media if you want to check out her sweater collection. Thank you so much. Good luck in the race next week. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Up next, we talk with LA Mayor Karen Bass at the White House. We go to break by honoring the late, great David Crosby. Here's Teach the Children.
Children well, their father's health will slowly go by.
President Biden speaking at the National Conference of Mayors at the White House, including many mayors from California. Among them, Karen Bass, who returned to a familiar setting in a new role.
Karen Bass talks to us from the White House, where she's meeting with President Biden. Bass served in Congress here for over a decade, but this is her first D.C. visit as L.A.'s mayor.
It's actually exciting being back here.
She's speaking at the Conference of Mayors and says city leaders from across the country are talking about fighting homelessness together. President Biden says he wants to cut homelessness by 25% nationwide in 2 years.
Well, all of us are here going, President Biden, if you want to meet your goal, come to California. If we deal with California, you will actually surpass your goal in the entire country.
In D.C., she's met with the Secretary of the VA and the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Her message, simply housing the homeless isn't enough.
If mental health and substance abuse is not a key component of that, then I'm worried about the long-term success.
She also met with the Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, who oversees the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA.
FEMA owes the city and the county, if you add both together, close to $200 million. So I'm here trying to collect the money.
Speaking of collecting money, Bass may find a surprising ally in the new Republican House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield.
Politics, just like everything else in life, it's all about relationships.
When Bass was Speaker of the Assembly in Sacramento, she worked closely with then Assemblyman Kevin McCarthy. 3 years ago, on The Issue Is, they each reflected on each other.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
My friend.
Karen Bass is an amazing human being, and we work fabulous together on foster care and others.
Where you might have ideological differences, sometimes you can do a wink, wink, nod, nod, and get things done. You might not draw a lot of attention to what it is that you've gotten done or how you got there.
Bass said during this D.C. trip, she watched this original reporting by Fox 11's Gina Silva.
Where is our tax dollars going?
Angela Marsden, owner of the Pineapple Hill Saloon and Grill, says she's been discovering dead bodies of the homeless outside her business.
We had three dead bodies in a week.
What went through your mind when you saw that story?
Just the tragedy of it all. And it just reinforces the fact that this is an emergency, a man-made disaster. And by the way, I raised that here. I talked about that. I talked about the number of deaths in general, and I certainly used that as an example.
Bass says her Inside Safe program successfully cleared some encampments in Venice and placed the homeless in motels. She wants to expand that citywide.
What do you say to people that are concerned that not enough is being done quick enough under your watch?
I couldn't agree with them more. I could not agree with them more.
What is your bottom line message to that business owner?
My bottom line message to the business owner is that we are going to work as hard as we can, as fast as we can, so that homeless individuals do not populate her area. The other thing I would say is that if one tent comes back, if one individual comes back, to please call our office and we will get that person housed.
Mayor Bass asked me for the contact number of that business owner and says she will call her personally.
Our thanks to Mayor Bass. By the way, she said that she wants the contact information of that business owner and is vowing to reach out to her directly. Our thanks as well to the Golden Mike Association, who nominated our segments with Bob Costas and Arnold Schwarzenegger from this past year. That's pretty cool. We appreciate seeing that. And our thanks to you for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next week with more of The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a great one.